verses. Romans chapter 1.
Yeah, Romans chapter 1. Paul, the servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom are ye also called of Jesus Christ. To all that be in the Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making requests, if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, the end you may be established, that is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both. Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, oftentimes I purpose to come unto you, but was let hitherto that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, but to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, into birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanliness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up to vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another. Men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them.
All right, let's go ahead and pray. One second, guys, give me a stick drift here. Lord, bless today's sermon. Bless your people. Give me utterance, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of my sermon this day, today, will be the reprobate doctrine, or in other words, the false gospel of the reprobate doctrine. This doctrine is usually taught in many Baptist churches. Now the word reprobate is in the Bible. We just read it, and we'll describe what that means. But there's a false doctrine out there called the reprobate doctrine. It teaches that that there's people who are just too far gone, okay, and that there's people who just can't get saved. They're too far gone, but that's not what the Bible teaches. All flesh is condemned, okay. And so we're going to see what a reprobate is in Romans chapter 1. Turn there with me. Look at verse 11, where Paul says right here. One second, verse 13. Now I would not have ignorant brethren, that oftentimes I purpose to come to you, but I was here to let that might have some fruit among you, even as other Gentiles. So he's speaking to Gentiles here. In Romans 1, he's not describing people who are too far gone. He's describing us outside of Christ. He's describing Gentiles. Okay, these what Paul's describing here. This is his courtroom scene. Jump down with me here. All the way down to verse, what's it called? Verse 20. For the invisible things of the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead. So without excuse, right? Gentiles are without excuse. There's one God. But Gentiles, you know, they have their own pagan gods. You know, they you know, their own little, you know, Paul dealt with them in Acts, these Stoics. They think they're wise, more smart, vain philosophies. But anyway, it goes on to say what? Because they knew God, right? They know God exists, these Gentiles. It was put in their hearts. They know. And then he says what? They glorify him not as God. They were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Right? He's describing as Gentiles, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Again, they're idols, they're pagan idols they made, right? And he goes on to say here, wherefore God gave them up. Why did God give them up? To show the need of a Savior. He says, to the uncleans of the lust of their own their hearts, disarm their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. And so, during this time, I mean, there were different you know, beliefs, and but most of them were just pagans in Gentile cities. That temple prostitute worship, they have different ways, and God gave them over to. We're going to see this reprimand mind. And leaving the man after the natural of the woman, bearing their own lust for another, working, which unsimulating those in the cups of their era, and he has now retained God of their knowledge. Right? These Gentiles now retain God of their knowledge. God gave them over to a reprimand mind to do those things that are not convenient. Why? To show their need of a Savior. Okay? And Paul goes on to describe us. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, malicious, full of envy, murder, debate. And so again, Paul is not describing a class of people who are too far gone. It's all of us outside of Christ. We were all reprobates outside of Christ. Before you got saved, you were a reprobate. Go to 2 Corinthians 13. I'll show you this. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. So in Romans 1, we have Paul's courtroom scene. Romans 1 to 3. It's his courtroom scene. Sorry, guys. Let me get a drink of water here. A little dehydrated today. Okay. Romans 1 is Paul's courtroom scene. He's describing the Gentiles in chapter 1. And then we get to Romans 2. He's describing what? The religious Judaizers, the Jews, okay? Who think they're better than these Gentiles. And Paul is showing, listen, you guys are hypocrites. You condemn them, but you yourself do the same things inwardly. Okay, and then Romans 3 is the conclusion where he says, listen, both Jews, pagan, Gentiles, whatever, all under sin. But in 2 Corinthians 13, look right here, starting in verse 5. Examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves, knowing not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates. So, we know that we're not reprobates. You know that you're not a reprobate. Because you believe the gospel, Christ is in you. But Luke goes on to say, but I trust you that you should know that we're not reprobates. Now I pray to God that you do no evil, that we should appear and prove that you should do which is honest, though as you be reprobates. So we can act like reprobates, but what a reprobate is someone outside of Christ. Someone who's not saved. So examine yourself, what does that mean? You examine yourself by your works? No. What do you believe? I believe the gospel. Oh, if you believe the gospel, guess what? Christ is in you. That means what? You're not a reprobate anymore. But again, there's no special class for people who are too far gone. So the reason I'm preaching this sermon, I'm sorry if I sound funny or speak fast. It's been a lot. Anyway, the reason why I'm preaching this sermon is because there's this doctrine out there that teaches that there, even in the grace community, there's this creeping in where people are just too far gone. That, you know, and what they're basing now is they're basing God's grace on the extreme wickedness, not on the riches of his grace. They're basically telling people that certain sins they do can outdo God's grace, which is a lie from hell. God has enclosed all mankind under belief, all of us, so that his mercy might be shown to us. And until you, right, until these people see in themselves they're nothing but a reprobate, they'll never believe in Jesus. Until they see how bad they are. I mean, when we go out preaching the gospel, I mean, most people today are just willing to say, yeah, I am a sinner, right? So the meaning, I'm a reprobate. I'm a sinner. I'm all these things. I'm a liar at all this. Right? And then we tell them the good news of the gospel. Believe in Jesus, you're saved. And they believe in that you get saved. But what bothers me with this doctrine is that it's rooted in Calvinism. This idea that there's people who are too far gone, which is not true. But the reason why they believe this is one verse. Go to Jeremiah chapter 6. Jeremiah chapter 6, Old Testament. Okay. And they'll use this. So look, see, they're rejected. So reprobate means rejected. So God rejects them. Yeah, exactly. All of us outside of Christ are what? Rejected. And your works can't save. That's what he's talking about here. Look at Jeremiah 6. Start here in verse 30. Just read it. Reprobate silver shall men call them, because the Lord hath rejected them. Well, what did he reject? Look at verse 19. Hear, O earth, behold, I'll bring evil upon this people, even the fruit of their thoughts, because they have not hearkened unto my words, nor to my law, but rejected it. To what purpose cometh there to me to increase from Sheba? And the sweet came from a far country? Your burnt offerings are not acceptable, not your sacrifice went to me. So God isn't rejecting them for being too far gone. He's rejecting their sacrifices. Okay? Their offering was just like Cain. Again, Jeremiah here is rebuking these people for trusting in their religion and their temple rituals and their outward appearance and all that, while their hearts are far from God. So their sacrifices was rejected. So reprobate silver, worthless religion. Reprobate silver isn't describing a special class of people who are doomed. It is describing, again, religion, outward religious people who look like silver, but have no value because they refuse to trust God. They offer the works of their what? Hands, like Cain. But the point is, apart from Christ, all of us are reprobate silver. That's why Paul later on says in Romans 11, God has shut up all in unbelief, that he may have mercy upon all. Every single one of us, before we got born again, are regenerated by the Spirit of God, when we believe the gospel, or reprobate silver, rejected by God. And Genesis 6 says, my spirit will always strive a man. Before you got saved, you were outside of Christ, dead in your sins, dead in your trespasses. No hope. Hopeless you were outside of Christ. On your way to hell. Eternally hell bound. Reprobate silver we were. Some of us have even tried to offer our own works to God before we got saved. Well, if heaven was real, we think, well, if I just be a good person, then God will accept me. And we see in Jeremiah 6 is, your offerings mean nothing to me, he says. Meaningless. Before I got saved, I was hellbound, reprobate, rejected by God. Nothing I do can be accepted before him. Not my works, not my obedience, not my deeds, nothing. He wasn't going to accept my baptism. He wasn't accept my church attendance. He wouldn't accept none of it. There's only one sacrifice he accepts. And we have it right behind me, the cross. So what is reprobate? It's you and me outside of Christ. But guess what? You're no longer reprobate. Though you may appear to act like it, but you're no longer that in God's eyes. You're no longer rejected, brother. You're no longer hell-bound. You're heaven-bound, raptured ready, accepted in the beloved because of what Jesus did. So, again, Jeremiah 6 doesn't teach that some men are beyond grace. It teaches that all men are worthless apart from Christ. And the reprobate silver is every religious work, every fleshly performance, every law keeping, everything you do, try to offer to God to be saved or be accepted. And God rejects it because he only accepts pure silver, Christ himself. And outside of him, we're all reprobates. Especially in the IFB movements, the new IFB, the reason this doctrine became big is because of them, their hatred towards LGBTQ people. you know, and they taught this doctrine, oh, gay people are just too far gone. Which is no biblical ground for that. 1 Corinthians 6 shows us that there were gay people in the Corinthian church and they were saved. Okay. But because they have this self-righteous hatred towards certain sins, they make up this whole new doctrine, oh, they're just rejecters, unsaved. If God can't save them, God didn't save you. And I'm telling you this right now, Christ came for the reprobates, for the ungodly, the helpless, the enemy. Romans chapter 5, verse 6, read it, what it says. Without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. God commended his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We were enemies, but we were reconciled to God by the death of his son. How much more by his life? Who did he die for? The ungodly, the sinner. In other words, the reprobates. To say someone is too far gone is to deny the gospel. It's funny because, Paul, these people have a sure conscience. Read Timothy. When Paul describes people who have a sure conscience, he's describing people who are telling people to abstain from certain things. Don't eat, don't touch, don't taste. And you know what Baptists do? Don't eat that, don't touch that, don't taste that. Well, they have a sure conscience according to Paul. Are they reprobates? No. Having a sure conscience does not mean you're unsaved. I'm going to preach on this a little bit, so give me a couple of minutes. Reprobate. We all were that. Every single one of us outside of Christ. These people who are calling other people reprobates, they themselves were reprobates before they got saved. You were dead in your sin. Listen, I don't think you know what that means. Before you believed, every single thought you had, haven't had yet, every single sin you've done, haven't done yet, all of it was reckoned to you. All of it was imputed to you. You were filled with this. That was who you were. Before you got saved, before you had the Spirit of God in you, you were dead in your sins. Your identity was just that, just flesh. That was all you were. And God couldn't strive with you in that condition. So he did something for us out of love. Came down, God Almighty, Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is God, by the way. He says, I am Alpha and Omega, the God Almighty, Revelation 1. And he bore your sins, all of them, at the cross, died and rose again. And the moment you believe that message, your sins, future sins, are forgiven. Past, present, all of it. It's no longer who you are. You may engage in these things outwardly, but they're no longer reckoned to you. They're no longer who you are in God's eyes. You may identify yourself with communities down here, but God will always identify you as a son, as a child, as righteous, as holy, as Christ himself, because Christ himself has been imputed unto you. Reprobate that. We're all reprobates outside of Christ. The whole point of Romans 1, he was trying to get show us that both Jews and Gentiles are all under sin. The law condemns all of us. All of us. Outside of Christ, we're all reprobates. And now in Christ, there are no reprobates. Only sons. Only holy people, righteous people. And every single one of you are righteous and holy now because of Christ himself. See, God was done with you, with your flesh. Read the Old Testament. You want to talk about mankind? Oh, mankind's good. Look right now what we're doing now. But look at the Old Testament, see how bad we were. This humanism out there. This doctrine of humanism. Now, I believe humans have value. Don't get me wrong. We all have meaning and value. But don't try to act like humans are good people. Cold day in hell. You're lying at your teeth.
Look what you are. Don't hide it. You can hide it to me, but you can't hide it to God. Be honest with yourself. Really. This is why God judged you at the cross. That's why you judge Adam. He killed Adam at the cross. He was done with it. All its filthiness, hatred, wickedness, murder, lasciviousness, all of it, all its filthiness, he was done with it. What did he do? He condemned us at the cross. Our ambitions, our needs, our strength, our weakness, anything apart from Christ was condemned at that cross. So when God looks at us, he's done with your flesh. He ain't expect nothing from it. He's done with it. He doesn't relate you on the flesh. He relates you on the basis of sonship, that you're a son of God based on what Jesus did. You're not in the flesh, but in the spirit. That's how God sees you. You have the flesh down here. We're still alive down here. But the flesh is no longer who we are. All I can do down here is sin. That's all I really do is commit sin. Any good that appears in me is not I, but the Spirit of God in me. Thus, therefore, all we do is sin. That's why we need to be forgiven. The whole point of justification. Just as I never sinned, because of what Jesus did. If salvation was based on how you live and what you do in this lifetime, we're doomed. There's no hope outside of the gospel. None of it. There's no hope at all. I mean, you look at all these religious pastors out there, street preachers, different churches, Orthodox, Catholics, whatever, different denominations, Protestant, Baptist, Pentecostal. They all have their rules and regulations to be saved. And none of us can do it. None of you can do it. Galatians chapter 3 says, for as many of the works of the law under a curse, not just that. He wasn't just talking about the moral law. No, he was talking about what you build up. Paul says, if I build again, I make myself a transgressor. Your own laws you make up. These pastors, they make up their own laws, their own requirements for someone to be saved. If salvation was based on all things that we have to do in this lifetime, every single one of us would be going to hell like a hell basket because none of us are good. Have you forgotten that part of the Bible? See, they want to talk about loving people, loving thy neighbor, all that stuff. But how about you read the Bible in Isaiah when it says, hey, all my righteousness are as filthy rags in the sight of God. How about you read Romans chapter 7 when Paul says, listen, I'm dead in my, listen, there's nothing good as in my flesh. How to perform what is good, I don't know how to perform it. How about you read Romans 3:10? There's none righteous on where he describes humanity. Read Romans 1, where he describes us outside of Christ. Humans are good. Yeah, cold day in hell, liar. History doesn't show that. We were murderers, rapists, killers. Not get it. We love, I'm not saying, you may be good to my standards, but just in general, humanity is not good. And God judged at the cross. God was surprised by all the crusades, pillagers, raping, killing, World War II, Nazis getting killed, and babies dying in Vietnam. And he wasn't surprised by any of that. He's not surprised right now by the whole Gaza, Israel, Palestine thing. He's not surprised by it. He judged at the cross already. Us. We needed to die with Christ. All of us do. That's why the gospel is so sweet, isn't it? That's why the gospel is so sweet, so full of honey, of richness, so full of so many joy, because it's not about us. Because God's done with us. I'm done with, not what I mean, I'm not saying this in a negative way. He's saying, he's not, there's no demand on you. He's not saying, God doesn't want your life. He gave his life for you because there's nothing good you can do. I'm not trying to be mean here. But if salvation is by giving our life to God, well, we're all going to fail because all our works are filthy rags. What good can we do? Paul says, I'm carnal, so under sin. How to perform which is good, I cannot do. But it's not based on us. It's based on what Jesus did. He that believeth is not condemned. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that none of yourselves to get to God. Now, a lot of us know this. We encourage each other in this message. That's how we continue in the Christian life. We're saved by believing the gospel. but we continue in faith, Paul says. If you continue in faith, be grounded, he says. Be settled in the gospel. Because the gospel, we believe the simplicity of it, the milk of it. Christ died and was buried and rose again. We're saved. But now we're growing in. And the gospel reveals the righteousness of God. Reveals what we have in him and who we are in him. The gospel reveals there's no demand on us. God is done with the flesh. He's done with your ambitions. He's done with your zealous. He's done with your needs. He's done with your strengths and weaknesses. He condemned it at the cross. He condemned Adam. He's done with it. He wants nothing from it. He wants you to accept what Jesus did for you. This idea that people are too far gone. What a joke. What a joke. No one's too far gone. Not Hitler. Not Jeffrey Dahmer. Not the person who killed Charlie Kirk. He's not too far gone. Tyler Robinson, who gunned down Charlie Kirk. And Charlie Kirk was a Calvinist. And I don't know if he saved or not. Only the Lord does, truly. But even the person who killed Charlie Kirk can get saved. Jeffrey Dahmer, John Wayne Gacy. What else? The Columbine shooters. They're not too far gone. For Christ came for them. To die for the ungodly. He died for sinners. I did not come call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. That change of mind. Turn with me now to the book of Romans chapter 5. This is why we need the gospel. That's why we need grace. We don't deserve it, but God gives it to us freely anyway. He's a loving God, a merciful God, a just and holy God. We know he's just by the cross. How can God justify sinners? By his blood. Amen. By his precious blood. That song we played. Jesus' blood can make the vilest sinner clean. He made you clean. He made me clean. And then in Acts chapter 11, Peter told his vision to, the other people there. And he said, three times the Lord said, don't call what I call clean unclean. Don't call what I call cleanse common. Three times the Lord said that to him about us Gentiles. We are saved by grace through faith, plus nothing, minus nothing. Salvation's by faith alone in Christ alone. And not just that. It doesn't stop there. Right now, where you are in your life, you are accepted before God. Not because of your works, not because of your failures, because of what Jesus did. He has justified you by his blood. You are qualified. You're accepted. You've been blessed by all spiritual blessings. And no man can separate you from that truth. You may doubt, listen, you may fear your whole life of death. What if, you know, some of the comment on my page, preacher, I'm showing this, what if mentality? That's scary, isn't it? What if we're wrong? You may struggle with that your whole life, but your salvation will always be secured. It ain't based on your feelings. Your feelings change every day. I feel safe today. It don't matter. Your feelings don't determine truth. That's what the word of God says. He that believes is not condemned. You believe you're not condemned. No ifs and buts. That's it. Take it for what it says. Romans chapter 5, we read it. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You have access to this peace. For Christ himself is your peace. Ephesians 2 says, for by one spirit, he is our peace. I believe he says something like that. We have access to this peace. You have peace with God. He's your peace. Christ himself is your peace. Well, I don't have peace today. Well, you have the right to have peace. Don't let the enemy steal your peace. Don't let him steal your joy of your salvation. Don't let him get you looking to yourself. Look back to Satan and say, I've died with Christ. I'm alive from the dead. I'm crucified. When it brings up your past sin, things you've done in the past, things that you're ashamed of, you can look back and say, that's under the blood. And things I do tomorrow is under the blood. Today's the day. And I'm going to stand confidently what I have in Christ. And what he did for me. But these people who teach this reprobate doctrine, which is just too far gone, I'm going to tell you this. It is a lie from the pit of hell. To say that some are beyond the reach of grace is a lie from hell. Because the scripture declares all men are equally condemned. Are all in unbelief. Romans 11. And it declares all of us were reprobates before we got saved. Us Gentiles is what Romans 1 is talking about. How they went to the pagan gods. They worshiped the creatures more than the creator. So what did God have to do? These Gentiles, they knew God exists. They knew there was a creator. But they weren't worshiping him. They were going after these false gods. So God said, I got to give you up to this then. I'm going to give up to your lust so you can see how bad you are. I'm going to give up to your lust that's on your own body to show why you need me. Because when I send my people to come to you and preach to you, you will accept it. And we see what happened in Acts. It happened, amen. The Gentiles glorify God for mercy. And that's what we're going to, when we die and go to heaven, when we face God, that's what we're going to say, Lord, I'm just a poor sinner. But your blood has cleansed me. That's my only hope. If that's not enough, your works are not enough. And it's not. Read Isaiah. Hey, God rejected their offerings. God rejected Cain's offering, his fruit of his own labor, what he did. But he accepted Abel's. Because Abel's offering was a picture of Christ's sacrifice. And Abel's faith was in that blood. And 1 John calls Abel's works righteous. Because his practice of righteousness wasn't his doing his deeds. It was what? His faith. Faith in what? In the blood. And our faith is in Christ's finished work. And we're justified. We're sanctified. We're washed in that blood. So mankind outside of Christ, we're all reprobates, doomed, hopeless, on our way to hell. But now that you're in Christ by faith, you're no longer reprobate. That stuff may appear outwardly in your flesh. And it does every day. That's not who you are. There's a prayer by John Bunyan, I believe that was his name, and he said, Lord, it's true. Lord, it's true. He said, I love my sin. That's the truth is, some of you here love your sins. But even that can change your position in Christ. You're still justified, cleansed. We're almost done. Turn with me to Romans chapter 3. Romans 3. Now, a lot of you know this, what I'm talking about already, but again, you need to hear it sometimes. Amen. Now, Romans 3, I love that verse so much. It's the truth about humanity, mankind in general, what we are, what some people don't like to admit. The truth offends, you know. The truth about mankind or society, all of it, is that there's none good. You know, the politicians make it, it's about good and evil, brother. It's about fighting good and evil, right in versus left. But both of them are evil. Then you got Christians who are so fixated on certain sins. Oh, we got to go against the LGBTQ, brother. It's the will of God, brother. No, it's not. The will of God is for us to believe on the Son. John 6:40, this will have not sent me. And when we see the Son, we may have everlasting life. This idea that you think you're good and they're evil, or that you're more better than them, it's phony. Romans 3, read it. Verse 9. What then? Are we better than they? No, no wise. We have before proven both Jews, Gentiles are all under sin. It is written as it is written. There's none righteous, not one. There is none that understands. He's quoting Psalms 4. There's none that understandeth. There's none that seek after God. They all gone the way. They are going to become unprofitable. There's none good. No, not one. Their throats are open sepulchre, open grave, meaning with their tongues they've used the deceit and the poison of the absence on their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness, that the feet of shed blood, destruction injury in their ways, the way of which they do not know. There's no fear of God before their eyes. And then verse 19. Now we know then. What things are the law saith? It says more under the law that every mouth may be stopped and the whole world become guilty before God. That's the purpose of God's law. It wasn't to show you how to be a good person. God's law was not given to show you how to be a good person. It was given to shut your mouth up before God and realize you're guilty. Guilty, that's it. Well, now that we're saved, the law was given to prove you guilty. I love Jesus. No, you don't. Don't say you love Jesus. Jesus, if you love me, you keep my commandments. You don't keep his commandments. None of you do. The whole purpose of God's law was to be a tutor, a guardian, a schoolmaster. Galatians chapter 3:24. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ so we can be justified by faith. Well, he said, if you love me, keep my commandments. He was to show you that you don't love him as the law demands. You don't love God with all your heart, mind, soul. That was the purpose of the law. To come to the end of yourself so you can cleave to Christ. Anyway, we'll wrap things up. Reprobates are not people who are too far gone. It's unbelievers. All of us before we got saved. We were rejected by God. God was not going to accept our offerings that we offered up, our works, our deeds. No. Reprobate silver they are. No value. Rejected. So God only accepts one sacrifice. It's the blood of Jesus. And when sinners come to repentance, which is not turning from sin or stop sinning, repentance is a change of mind. When they realize, well, I am a sinner. I can't save myself. Lord, I'm going to trust what you did. In that very nanosecond, they believe with a mental assent, without speaking, they believe whatever. Or they profess or not, but they believe in general. They're saved. Placed outside, they're no longer in that realm of reparation or rejection, now they're in Christ, now accepted and loved eternally. God loves the lost, and he came down for them. God loves the murder. God loves the psychopaths. God loves the victims and the those who've been hurt, but also God loves all. He wants all to get saved. Even people you hate, people that you think are just wicked and evil, you're just as bad as them. Christ came for sinners. Sinners, the worst of worst, and we're justified by faith in him alone. That's the beauty of justification, that we are forgiven of all our sins, past, present, future, that we're now qualified as sons and heirs, that we've been blessed with all spiritual blessings. We're heirs of God. Well, all things that belong to Jesus belong to us. His blessings, his relationship with the Father are now ours because of faith in Christ. Not anything we've done. We have no works to boast about. Nothing to boast about. No, God, all my works are rags, filthy rags. Nothing I can do, Lord. So I'm going to lean on Jesus. And is that him? There's this movie I liked about a preacher who's a fraud, whatever, and he goes around killing women. But, you know, he's a preacher. He believes in it. You know, he thinks, funny movie, old movie, came out like in the 60s or whatever. And there's a song where a true woman of God was singing to him, and she's all leaning on Jesus, leaning on Jesus. That's what salvation is, leaning on Jesus, safe and sound from all the world. That's what we're doing. All right, go ahead and bow your heads with me in prayer. Lord, I thank you for these people here. I thank you for your grace and mercy. We thank you, Lord, that we're righteous in Christ and that it's to him that works not but believes on him, that justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Thank you, Lord, that we've been crucified with Christ. You judge Adam at the cross, all its strength, all its weakness, all its ambitions and needs. We're judged once and for all. There's no double jeopardy, Lord. There's no demand on our flesh. You're not seeking something from it. We can rest knowing that you loved us and accept us, not based on anything we've done, but based on what your son did. Thank you, Lord, that we're complete in you. We lack nothing. We're loved and accepted. Amen. I'm going to play one more hymn. After the hymn, church dismiss.